danger, I felt alone. The enemy had singled me out to do me wrong. And there blew strong winds, would this be my end? But then I heard my friend calling me to his side.
Girls, let's grab our Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 11. We'll read some scripture here. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful. We just finished our fall program. We had a great fall program. We do a few special things during that time. So we have we have a lot of newer people coming. And if you're new, we appreciate you being here. I would encourage you, if you're newer to our church, you've been coming, you're kind of maybe coming with the idea of checking us out, let me encourage you to do one thing. Make sure you go to one of our adult classes, okay? I know that you've probably been invited by somebody. We typically do that, but that's where it's a little smaller group before our main service here, and you can meet somebody, meet a new friend, meet some friends and so forth, but you're really not going to get a feel for what our church is really about unless you go to one of the classes there. You know, we come in here, it'll be great when we get our new building. We'll have a little bit more space. But, you know, Sunday morning, it's like, let me get a seat. And so I don't have to crawl over people to get to, I get all that. But Sunday school, it's a little different. So I would encourage you to do that. And then also with the holidays, if you're newer in the Lord, take advantage of your new faith or you know, your new walk with God, and remember what the holidays are about. We have traditions. We do Thanksgiving, you know, we'll go to my sister's house. That's a tradition. We do that in the morning. And then we come back to our house in the afternoon. We watch the Dallas Cowboys lose. That's our tradition. You know, they lose every year, so we do that. And we have things we do. We'll do some shopping. I'm not doing that at 4 o'clock in the morning, fight 12 people to shop. You know, we'll find another way to get around that. But don't forget what it's all about, okay? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God and being thankful to him. And so I encourage you to do that this holiday. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 34. You'll want to leave your Bible open. We're going to kind of look through the whole chapter a little bit today, but this will get us started here. We're in our series, What Did Jesus Say? And we've had many lessons. We're coming towards the end of that. But I want us to get what we have today. John chapter 11 and verse 34. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. John 11:34. And said, Where have ye laid him? Speaking of Lazarus. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. By the way, that's everybody's favorite memory verse. Very simple. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of this people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what it can do in our lives. Lord, as we have been looking at these stories of Jesus really all year long, in a way, I pray you'd help as we apply this to our lives this morning. May you help us to understand what is being said. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that would go with this, would you tap on our hearts and allow us to understand what you would want us to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story here, Jesus had a close earthly relationship with this particular family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's not necessarily that he loved them more than others. I think this is just a family that that was just a little closer because they allowed Christ to be closer. You know, God, Jesus loves everybody. Jesus, you know, the verse they said there, behold how he loved him, that could really apply to all of us. But if we're not as close to him as maybe others may be, it's not because he doesn't desire to be close with us. It is because we have chosen not to be close to him. There are no favorites with God like that. But this is a family that was close with him because of that. And the beginning of this chapter tells us what's going on. Lazarus gets ill, and his sisters are very concerned. And by the way, they should be because it is going to kill him. But they were very concerned about his illness. And Jesus is not there with them, so they send for his help. Jesus is in Bethabara, about 20 miles away. Jesus, they send a messenger. The messenger comes to Christ and tells him, hey, Lazarus is very sick. The sisters wanted you to know. Jesus does something interesting. He just kind of stays where he's at for a couple days. He doesn't immediately rush to their side to help them. If you had a timeline of what was going on, it was about one day for travel. The messenger comes to Jesus on the first day. The second day, he returns to Bethany. The third day, Jesus still waits, and then he leaves. And the fourth day, Jesus arrives in Bethany. So really, Lazarus had died pretty close to the time that messenger had left, and Jesus knew that. But he waits before he even goes, and so now Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. As Jesus comes into the town, the sisters hear that he's there, and both of them at different times meet with him. Jesus is planning on raising Lazarus from the dead. He knew that before he ever came, but he still waited for his purposes. When he meets both of the sisters, they all tell him the same thing. They both tell him the same thing at different times. They're not together. First thing out of their mouth is, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Obviously, they, in their misery and their talking to each other, they both had thought about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. They're very concerned. They're distraught. So Jesus reminds her that Jesus tells them, you know, hey, he gives them, you know, your brother's going to rise again one day, and they, yeah, you're going to rise. And Jesus is kind of hinting that he is going to raise him from the dead. Well, after he talks to sisters, he goes to the gravesite. He is there for the purpose of raising him from the dead. Then it's very interesting. He says, okay, roll away the stone. Now, Jesus had already hinted to them that he's going to rise from the dead. He's like, they're not going to do that if the stone's still blocking. You got to get that out of the way. That's step number one. Get that stone out of there. That should have been their hint that something was going on. I don't think Jesus wanted to go see his body to make sure he was dead. I'm pretty sure he already knew he was dead. But they said, hey, he says, roll the stone away. They should have been excited, but the sister steps up and she's like, well, wait a minute. Don't you understand? He's already been dead for 4 days. Don't roll the stone. You don't need to see him. I mean, by now, he probably smells pretty bad. In other words, he's decaying. Jesus is trying to get them to understand that roll the stone away so I can do what I told you I was going to do. I could raise him from the dead. You see, he could not free him from the dead until the stone was rolled away. That stone was blocking his escape from that tomb as Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. That stone had to be moved first. And Martha didn't get it. She's like, don't. She didn't answer, don't do that. That's, if you do that, it's not going to be good. He's decaying. He's done. But the stone had to be rolled away. As I apply this, and we'll look in the scripture in a second here, that's true of many of us in our lives. As we've looked at what Jesus has been saying to us over the last several months, we see that Jesus wants to work in our lives. He wants to do something great. He wants us to have a spiritual life. You see, before we were saved, we were dead in our trespass. Now we're saved, and he wants to do something great and wonderful in our lives. But I wonder so often if we don't have a stone that's blocking him. You see, his power can not only raise someone from his dead, you know, his power can transform a life that was dead to sin. But how often do we leave that little stone there that's blocking us from doing the things that God wants us to do and that God wants to do in our life? What is Jesus saying to us this morning as we look at the scriptures? You know what he's saying to some of us? He says, you need to get rid of that stone. You need to get that out of your life. There was no way Lazarus was getting out of the grave unless Jesus first had the stone rolled away. But what about us this morning? There's two main things I want us to see from the story this morning that can help us as we consider, do we need to get something out of our lives in order that God might do something in our lives? I want you to see, first of all, what the stone reminds us of if we don't move it. And then I want you to see how we can move the stone. So I want you to see what the stone reminds us of. What are the reminders of the stone? Look in your Bible. There's two verses we didn't read I want you to look at. Verse number 21. Leave your Bibles open to John chapter 11 today, and you'll see a few of the verses. John chapter 11, verse 21. Martha's the first to come see Jesus. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. In verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she's second, she hears the Lord's there, she comes running to him, and saw him, she fell down on his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, that stone represented to them the permanency of the situation. My brother is dead. Lord, you weren't here. And so now he's locked away forever, and this situation is closed, and there's nothing that can be done about it. This is a permanent situation. But as we're going to see, Jesus didn't want it to be a permanent situation. The girls weren't looking at it from a proper perspective. Now, he's given them some hints, and they don't get it. That's happened so often when he talked to his disciples in the New Testament. They just don't get what he's saying. So often, we don't get what he is saying. But what is it, based on these sisters, their sorrow that they didn't get? What did this stone remind them of? First of all, it was a stone of disappointment. They both had the exact same feeling. That word, that little phrase right there, Lord, if. What a haunting word if is. If. In other words, things turned out the way we did not want them to turn out. I wish something different would have happened. What they're stating is their disappointment. You ever been disappointed? How often are we disappointed with what happens in life? By the way, we ought to understand something. God's ways are not man's ways. Things don't always work out or go the way that we want them to go. God's timing is not only timing. Now, maybe if they sent the messenger to Jesus and if he had come right away, maybe they would say, well, at least he tried, but it's like, it's 4 days now that he's been dead. He could have been back, but he waited a couple days. Why didn't you come right away? Lord, maybe they were thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm just putting this in there. Maybe they thought, well, maybe if he would have just freshly died, Jesus could have risen from the dead, but it's 4 days now. He's rotting. Disappointment. What we need to learn, and it's not easy, is that God doesn't always do what we want him to do, or God doesn't always stop that which we feel he should stop. Faith in God is not a blank check to get what we want and when we want it. God's not a heavenly Santa Claus. You know, you don't go and you give him a list and say, here's a list and I'll see you on December 25th. Doesn't work that way. By the way, parents, if that's going to happen, you kind of need a blank check. It's just, I want this. God's like, hey. Faith is not us telling God what to do. Faith is us trusting God in what he does. Yeah. Disappointment. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. There have been times in my life I've been disappointed. The flesh just says, why didn't God do this? But by faith, we need to say, he chose not to. Yeah. Really, Lord, if is just another way of asking the age-old question everybody always asks, which is, why? Why did this happen? Why did you allow it? Disappointment. We may be disappointed in what happens, but let's never be disappointed in God. The flesh, I understand it. We're disappointed. But trust says, and faith says, but I know God is doing what is best. Disappointment. Disappointment. Remember, the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things. Now, there are things we may not be thankful that happened. But during those times, we can still give thanks in those times. Because God is always good and it always could have been worse. You have to understand, we live in a world of sin. We can't control it. People want to blame God for the things that happen. It's like, you know what mankind has done since the Garden of Eden? We've spit in God's face. We've done our own way. We've turned everyone to his own way. We do exactly what we want. We ignore God. And then when things happen in this world of sin, this world that just does what they want to do, and it doesn't turn out right, then we say, Lord, you've disappointed me. It's funny how God gets all the blame and none of the credit. Disappointment. It also represents a stone of doubt. Doubt is a faith killer. What they're saying is, why didn't you come earlier? Don't you know? It's almost like we're telling God, you don't know what's best. You should have been here. If you weren't here, my brother would have died. Do you understand what that's saying? It's almost like saying, in a really kind way, Lord, that's your fault. They didn't mean it like that. Jesus understood where they were at. I understand that with their sorrow. Lord, it's because you weren't here. Why did you let this happen? I don't understand this. Doubt. The disciples doubted what was going on. You see that at the beginning of the chapter. By the way, there's one of the disciples that's known for doubt. Who is it? Thomas. Doubting Thomas. By the way, Thomas gets hammered a lot for having doubt. But you know, the guy was courageous. You see, for them to go back where Lazarus and his sisters were was dangerous because the religious leaders were after him. And he says they're going back. Thomas didn't get it. He goes, I don't get what's going on, but let's just go die with him. Now, if you have that kind of doubt, I'm in. Like, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm with you even as this thing blows up in our face. That's not the kind of doubt. The doubt here is like, what's going on, Lord? Why did you let this happen? It's God lets things happen, but it may not be his fault. Sometimes the course of this world and the sinful nature of man, bad things happen, and God is under no obligation to change it. In his sovereignty, he allows it, but that doesn't mean God is responsible for it. And we better be careful, or that doubt we have is going to shift into blame. And when you start blaming God, you become bitter. And I appreciate Mary and Martha, they weren't on that path. They were confused, and there was doubt, there was sorrow, but they didn't let it get to bitterness. Let me say this, bitterness is very dangerous, whether it's towards God or whether it's towards another individual. Because you know what happens to bitterness? Bitterness spreads, and it can never be controlled. If I get bitter about something towards Brother Pineda, and it's just between me and him, that bitterness in my heart is going to leak out to Brother Pichardo, Robert, you name it. Because bitterness ruins the person who's bitter. Someone has said bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't work that way. Be careful about doubt. You ever struggle with it? Have you ever prayed a prayer of disagreement to God? Have you ever been there, you're doubting what he did? I remember there's two specific times I really did this, Brother Pichardo. I remember one time we had moved to Florida to help start a church, and we were there, and we were just having some serious financial trouble. And I was looking for a job full-time, and we were having real issues. And I had a call from a, as we were looking for jobs, we also had a temporary place that would give us jobs, and I had a job for that day, but then they gave it to somebody else. I'm like, well, maybe that's God's way of saying go out for a job. Go out and fill out some applications. So I went into Tampa, and first place I went to, I fill out an application. It was a trucking company. I used to work at a trucking company. I fill out an application. The lady said, I don't think we're hiring, but if you want to fill out an application, you can. I'm like, I'll fill one out anyhow. I'm here. I filled it out. She said, hang on 1 second. And she, after I filled out the application, gave it to her, she went and got the boss, and I got interviewed on the spot. And the guy goes, I like you, you got the job. He goes, all you got to do is take a lie detector test. Money, right? Listen, I went and took the lie detector test. Now, how many of you have never taken one? Okay. The lie detector test, what they do is they ask you some questions like, have you ever stolen from anywhere you've worked, or you've ever done this, or you've ever stolen, you've ever lied? And they ask you these questions, and you're honest. And then when they give you the lie detector test, they'll say, other than what you've already told me, have you ever stolen anything? So, you know, Robert, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I hung out with you, so I was really messed up. I said, well, yeah, I used to steal. I hung around with this guy named Robert, and we used to, no, I'm kidding. And so I took the lie detector test. I told all the truth. I said, okay, you can leave. So the guy said, take the lie detector. By the way, we needed this money, and this was a good paying job. I'm thinking, God worked this whole thing out, Brother Pineda. I was supposed to work that temporary job. I didn't work the temporary job. I just went to the very first place. They weren't even taking applications. I got an interview. The guy hired me on the spot. God's in this thing. The guy said, take your lie detector test, and then call me the next day. So I get on the phone, man. I already told my wife, God answered my prayer. You know, she's like, oh, you're D.L. Moody. I'm like, yeah, that's good. So, you know, God answered my prayer. I go there. I call the guy. I said, hey, just wanted to see how everything's going. Took the test yesterday. He goes, hold on, let me get the results. You know, put me on hold, elevator music. He comes back and said, you failed. Can't use you. Bye. Click. Like, whoa. Like, I failed the lie. God was in this thing. By the way, we were under some serious financial pressure. And I remember we lived at this apartment, huge apartment complex, and I said, I got to go for a walk. And I had a discussion with God, and it was not pretty. I'm surprised I didn't become ashes. I'm like, Lord, I came out here because you told me to come out here. And I've had nothing but problems since we've been out here. I can't pay my rent. We're not buying groceries. Why wouldn't you just give me this job? And then you tell God, you know, all the reasons why this is the job. Don't you understand why this job is perfect? Let me explain the reasons to you. And I'm like, this reason and this reason and this reason. After about 15 minutes of that, he did not kill me. I kind of like, you know, Lord, you know what's best. Now, I didn't really understand that or mean it at the time. I'm like, you know what's best. And after 15 minutes of all this nonsense, he's like, I'll trust you. Well, I got a better job. I was the boss. I remember the other time. We were managing properties. We started working full-time at the church. We had had our own business before. And so we were managing a property. They decided that they didn't want children in the building. And since we had more children than everybody else combined, they told us to get out. And so we were looking for a place, and we found a place we thought we were going to be able to buy. We were under pressure to get out. And we found a place where we actually live now, this house, and it was in foreclosure, and we were going to be able to get it. We didn't have money in the bank. I mean, it was like a miracle. It was one of those. It was date night, Tuesday night. I drove to this area. I saw a sign for sale by owner. I thought, wow, let me just call. And I called. That Tuesday night, we had date night. We went by. They were losing the house in 6 days. They had no other buyer. It was done. And they didn't want that on their. And it was working out. We were going to get it. And I'm like, this is a miracle of God. You know, I'm telling my wife, I got us a house. God delivered. I'll never forget. I had my old office at the old building on Thursday. And then I got a call. My wife called and said, it ain't going to work. And I said, okay. And I had one of those conversations again. I walked around my office and said, Lord, that's not right. You want us to live on the street? I'm serving you. I can't afford it. What's going on? They're giving us, we're going to get this house for less than rent. And then I went through the whole thing again. Let me explain the reasons, Lord, why this is a good deal. I said, boom, 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 boom. This would not be good of you to not give us this house. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of that, I got like, all right, Lord. I'm going to trust you on this one again. And then the next day they called and we got the house. But I've been there. There's times when I don't understand, Lord, you want my family. Listen, we're working at the church. We're trying to do the right thing, and now we're going to have to live out on the street. Come on. Now, I suggest you don't pray like that. That's not good. Okay, that's twice I've done that. Twice. Both times I'm like, God's like, that guy is such a knucklehead. But we've been there. But don't stay there. It's okay to tell God how you're feeling. But let's make sure we get over it. I think the sisters were there. Lord, it's your fault. Why didn't you? It would have been so much better if my brother was alive. But they got over it. Doubt. You see, there's discouragement. There's always discouragement. Sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to, if we're not careful, that sorrow gets into discouragement. And now it's like, God's never going to do anything for us. This is never going to work out. Why do we even try? I like what Gideon said. Judges, God comes to Gideon, and the children of Israel at that time, they were impoverished. Whenever their crops would grow, the Midianites would come and take their food from them. And here's Gideon. He's threshing the wheat. He's doing it at night. He's actually hiding. And the angel comes and says, you're a mighty man of valor. And he's like, are you serious? You're talking about me? God, we're going to do great things here. And I like his little statement here. He goes, Gideon said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles? He said, really? You're going to help us? Why are we in this mess in the first place? And where's all those miracles we're reading about? You can almost sense the discouragement. Like, this isn't going to happen. It's okay to feel sorrow. It's okay to be disappointed. Don't let it step into discouragement where you start to even give up that anything good will ever happen again. And then there's the stone of disagreement. Straight out in verse 39, we saw it. Jesus said, take the stone away. You think the girls would have said, here it comes, here it comes. She's like, why? Now she's disagreeing with what God's doing. Why are you going to do that? It's like, sister, sometimes people can be, and I'm not going to say specifically just ladies, can be a little schizophrenic. Someone has said a lady can tell you she loves you and she hates you in the same sentence, and she sincerely meant it both times. Right? But she's like, hey, wait, Lord, I know that. Roll the way. Well, don't roll the stone away. It's almost like, what do you want? Disagreement. We don't disagree with what God's. So sometimes we get so, we just quit caring. And so what do? We don't do anything. I heard a story of Henry Ford. He bought the Lincoln car company many years ago. He added that to Ford. And Lincoln was struggling, and the people there had quit caring. So what he did is he got a log, and he put it in front of the elevator of the building. And he left it there for 3 weeks. Not one person moved it. He said the executives would come, and they would just, oh, the log's here. They'd open the elevator and step over the log and go upstairs. The janitors started sweeping around it. Nobody thought, why is that here? They just quit caring about their job. So after 3 weeks, he got all the executives together. They've been stepping over the logs and says, I want to let you know something. I put the log there. You're all fired. Isn't that how we get the step? We're just used to it now. We wanted God to do something, but we're so far past it. Now he can't do anything, and we're just where we're at. Don't get stuck there. So we see why the stone remained. The couple minutes we have left, let me give you a couple things that will help us with removing the stone. First of all, faith. Look at verse 20 of chapter 11. Look at verse 20. We're harping on the girls a little bit, but I want to give them some credit. Verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. We looked at that. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Now here we go, schizophrenic thing. But I know you can do it. I mean, it's your fault in the first place, but I know you can do it. Look what he says. Thy brother shall rise again. Man, she should have said, let's go. Let's go. I'll move that stone myself. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's going all spiritual on us. Like, yeah, I know, one day when this world is over, we're all going to rise from the dead. It's like, didn't you just ask him to do something? He said he's going to do something. Now you're spiritualizing it. Yeah, I know, in the future. Jesus was talking about the future. He's talking about right now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, she was confused, but I'll give her some credit. She had faith in him. I mean, the sorrow kind of got in the way and caused her to say some things that weren't right, kind of like we all have done. But bottom line is, she knew who he was. She still believed who he was, and she believed that maybe not right now, but one day it shall be well. Yeah. Faith. Do we have faith? Sometimes we get happy, we're not happy, but we get content with that stone blocking our life because now we have a reason for what's going on in our life. You ever notice people walk away from God, they always have a reason. It's that church. Okay, if it's a church, go find another one. Well, you know, this person made me mad. Get it right. We always have these excuses why we walk away from God, and why don't we just deal with them? She had faith. She had faith that God was going to do something. It may not be what she wanted him necessarily to do, but she still had faith in him. And I've said this many times over the last few weeks, don't put God on trial every single week. We do that. Some of us, and again, I know we're human, we struggle with it. We have this roller coaster Christianity. Man, 1 week we want to be a missionary to Mars. The next week we won't even come to church. You know what I'm talking? I mean, we all feel that. You say, well, what do you do those weeks you don't want to come to church or you don't even want to read your Bible, you don't even want to say God's, just do it. In spite of your feelings. Got to fight through that. That's where faith is. Faith is, I don't understand this. And by the way, there are things that happen in my life. There are things that have happened to others I've known. And if I had my way, I wouldn't want that to happen. But you know what? I'm not God. I'm not a Mormon. I don't think I'm going to become a God. And if I did become a God, you don't want to live on my planet. It'd be a mess. You would not last long, cowboy. I'm just telling you, it's just, let God be God. I can hardly take care of Steve Myers. And I'm sure not going to tell God what to do. I think he knows what to do. I just have to have faith in what he's doing. Faith. Hebrews 11:6. It's a very convicting verse if you think about it. It says, but without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. If we don't have faith, we can't even please God. That's scary. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's trust the Lord. It takes prayer. Martha said it. I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. And then later on when Jesus prayed at the gravesite, he didn't pray out loud for him, for his own sake. He prayed out loud for those that were around their sake. Prayer. Do the things in the life that are discouraging you and disappointment, do you at least bring them to God in prayer? Or do you get so down about it, it's like, I'm not even going to pray about that anymore. That's a bad place to be. You see, because the thing that God desires the most of us is for us to spend time with him. Maybe those things God allows in our life is just his way of us drawing closer to him. I mentioned our Sunday school class, we were talking about storms. Sometimes God brings things into our life because there's something he's trying to get us to learn. And when we don't learn in those situations, it's almost like when you fail a course or you fail a quiz or a test, sometimes you got to retake it because you didn't get it right the first time. And I wonder if God allows something in our lives sometimes and we miss what he's trying to get us to learn, and he says, okay, I just have to do it again a different way. But don't allow it to push us away from God. It's okay, I'll be honest with you, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay sometimes to have doubt. It's okay to be discouraged as long as that drives you to God. Amen. Because when it drives you to God, you'll get over it. I'm glad the sisters, when they heard what Jesus was there, didn't say, I've had enough of him. We already sent a messenger and he didn't bother to come. I'm not going to him. As soon as they heard he was there, they went. Don't let it drive you away from God. Allow it to drive you closer to God. Another way we're going to see that stone rolled away is scripture. Jesus gave her the truth. I'm the resurrection of life. Do you believe these things? Again, it's the whole same thing. We things of life don't go our way. And instead of getting in God's word and seeing what God says about it, we turn to our own way. We try to figure, by the way, you can't figure it out on your own. That's why you're down in the first place. Well, this doesn't match up with my thought process. This is not how I feel it should have worked out. Get in the Word of God. The Word of God tells you the path of life. The Word of God will lead us in the way we're supposed to go. But we always know best, don't we? We always do. We think we know best how things should have been handled. And maybe God's trying to say, hey, sisters, calm down. You don't get it, but he's going to rise again. Scripture. I hope that the Bible's important to you. You see, the more we know of what God is like and what God is doing, the more we can take what's going on. But when we're disattached from that book, everything that goes on seems like they're all just arbitrary things taking place all over, and God says, no, they all work together. But we don't see it. What is Jesus saying to us this morning? You know what he's saying? He's saying, get rid of the stone. What is blocking you this morning? Something in your life didn't go right? Something in your life happened or something going on and you don't understand what God's doing, and maybe you're doubting that he did the right thing, and maybe some of you to the point where you're just discouraged and you're ready to walk away. Don't do that. Let's, by faith, trust God and bring our problems to God and see what he has to say about it. Move the stone this morning. Say, man, I don't like the way my life's going. You know why? You're stuck in a cave. You're stuck in a tomb. And by the way, Lazarus was put in there of no thought, not because of anything he did, but you know, most of us, we get in that tomb and we roll the stone ourselves. We don't have to. What's Jesus saying? Get rid of that stone. Get rid of that thing that is keeping you from trusting him. Let's all stand this morning.